Morning, Maryville Church, and everyone that's watching us online. We welcome you here this morning for our worship video. I hope that the songs have been an inspiration to you as you've lifted your voice in praise to God this morning. And I hope that the message that I'm going to share with you this morning will encourage you in your Christian walk. I'm going to conclude a series we've been exploring for the last several weeks called A Praying Life. This is part number 5 in that series, and I've entitled it, Realign Your Confidence. When we pray, we're children who are talking with our Father. Prayer is finding a calmness in the presence of your heavenly parent. So the opposite of that, that childlike spirit of dependence and trust in your Heavenly Father, is a spirit that is cynical. Well, cynicism is the primary spirit of our age, and like it or not, we as Christians are not immune from that influence. In fact, I would say that many of us, even right now, are struggling with a certain weariness of spirit. But when you look at the idea of being a cynical person or cynicism, and you really unpack it at its depth, really it's questioning whether or not God is really good, and whether He cares for us, and whether He's involved in our lives. It's losing the spirit of a child that cynicism takes over when we stop trusting instinctively in our good Heavenly Father who listens to us, He hears our cries, and He acts in our behalf. When you look at the Bible, you find that the first words out of Satan's mouth were words that were cynical. He tries to get Adam and Eve to question God's goodness. He takes the attention off of all of the trees of paradise that God had provided for their good, and instead he plants doubt in their mind, in Adam and Eve's minds, about God's real motive. He says, "For God knows that when you eat of this tree, that your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God." Satan tries to get this first couple to buy into a conspiracy theory. The accuser whispers to them, "You need to see what's really going on behind the scenes." And that's what cynicism does. When being cynical takes root in our hearts, it can feel like it's more real than the truth. It makes us numb toward life and says everyone has a hidden agenda, even God. Our trust in God and people erodes whenever cynicism takes hold of our hearts. Being cynical can feel like you're protecting yourself from being disappointed, but in reality, the longer it casts its shadow over your heart, the more it makes you bitter and untrusting. It makes you question God's goodness, leaves you doubting, it shuts down your heart, and ultimately destroys a praying life. Far too many children in our culture today, unfortunately, have been abandoned by their fathers. Too many of us, maybe you watching this video, grew up in a home where maybe you couldn't trust your parents, you couldn't trust your father. And so if that's the experience that you've had, it's only natural that you would allow your experience of your earthly father to color your view of your heavenly father. Let me give you some examples. If your dad growing up was compassionate and kind, then probably you're going to naturally see God that way. But if your dad was harsh, critical, or abusive, you're likely going to tend to keep your distance from God. Maybe your dad was absent. If so, you may feel like your heavenly father isn't available for you. A praying life, in many ways, is about realigning your confidence in who God really is. I think all of us understand in our world today that we shouldn't prejudge people based on appearance before we get to know them. But I wonder how often we've been guilty of doing that with God. Have I been guilty? Have you been guilty of prejudging God? Instead of assuming that we know who God is, we understand His character and nature, maybe we need to spend more time really getting to know Him. The Bible is, in fact, a transcript of God's character. And if you really want to get to know God for who He really is, you got to listen to how God explains Himself. When Moses wanted to see God for who He truly is, God passed before him and said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. Now that stands in dramatic contrast to the prevailing viewpoint of the people of Moses' day about who a God would be and what God would be like. But yet God reveals Himself to be full of love and compassion and slow to anger. And so Moses had to realign his confidence according to the way God demonstrated Himself to be. Psalm 68 in verse 5 says, "The Lord is a father to the fatherless." Ordinarily, parents provide good things for their children, and so Jesus would say, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more then will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Paul explains in Romans 8 and verse 15 the marvelous blessing that we have as followers of Christ to know the nature of who God is. "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." The true nature of God being trustworthy for our good and wholesome and pure in His motives is expressed so beautifully in a recent worship song that was written by Anthony Brown and Pat Barrett and most popularly sung by Chris Tomlin, the song "Good, Good Father." In that song, it expresses the idea that there's lots of different viewpoints that people have about God, but we know the truth, that God has revealed Himself to be a good father. The song says this, "I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am." Now, this is not a new idea that has recently been captured and put into a worship song. There's an old hymn that we have sung for many years in lots of churches, written back in 1745 by William Hammond, called "Lord, We Come Before Thee Now." And the same idea is expressed in such a poetic and powerful way in the final verse. "Grant that all may seek and find Thee a God supremely kind." I love the way that song expresses the idea. It's praying that everyone would come to understand the true nature of who God is, that their confidence in God would be realigned, and that they would seek and find that God truly is supremely kind. You see, our Father is a good Father. He's a good, good Father. But Jesus does not teach us by this to be naively optimistic about life. It's not like we go through life with rose-colored glasses ignoring the evil around us. In fact, Jesus would tell us that we should be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Basically, Jesus in one breath would say, "Be on your guard against people." But then He tells us to trust in a Father's love, in our Heavenly Father's love, and fear not, because we are of much more value than many sparrows. Jesus shows us here in Matthew 10, this passage that I'm referring to, that we have to keep in tension the ideas of being wary about evil in our world, while at the same time having a robust confidence in God's active goodness for us. We are to be wary, but confident. Prayer is really ground zero for this. It's where we realign ourselves around that kind of tension and that kind of focus. We must not allow the evil in the world to erode our confidence in God's goodness or kill our hope. Instead, we need to realign our confidence in God, which means we have to remind ourselves regularly of God's good deeds in our life and practice praying thankfulness for all the good that He has done. I really think this is where confidence in God comes, is by cultivating a thankful spirit. You know, a spirit of cynicism isn't thankful. In fact, a spirit that is cynical is always looking at the negative and always the things that aren't there instead of focusing in on the things that have been provided and being thankful for the goodness of God. And that's the reason why we have to be on such guard against being cynical, because cynicism ultimately will lead you down the pathway that leads to unbelief whenever we forget to be thankful. This is exactly what Paul says in Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Well, what is thankfulness? Thankfulness is not forcing yourself to be happy. It's not a naive optimism about life. Rather, thankfulness is about seeing your dependence upon God and opening your eyes to God's activity in this world. The calming from God that comes to us when we pray comes whenever we're immersed in thanksgiving. We looked at Philippians 4 last week a little bit, and that same verse tells us, tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done, and then you will experience God's peace, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So there's a real definite connection between having a thankfulness, and the reason we're thankful is because we've realigned our confidence in God being good, being reminded of all the good things He's done, which makes us thankful, and when we're thankful, that's when we experience God's peace. So to live a praying life is to live a thankful life. Prayer is not just about asking God for stuff. It's about praising God for His goodness. The more we remember His goodness, the more confident we become in life, because we know that He is a good Father who cares for us and is involved and interested in our lives. There's a psalm in the Old Testament that expresses this so beautifully, Psalm 103. I want to share some portions of it with you. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things He does for me. He fills my life with good things. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heaven above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. Praising and thanking God in prayer is the pathway to realigning your focus away from cynicism and into spiritual confidence. A praying life is not just about thanksgiving, but instead it's about thanks living. So I hope that at this time in the days that are in front of you, that you will spend some time being thankful for all the good things that God has done and realign your focus to realize that your Heavenly Father is a good Father.